like the saying, God can make a way. He can make a way where there is no way.
Right.
And that's what we're going to preach about tonight, that God is able, and he's got the strength and power to do basically anything. And sometimes we try to put God into a box, and we try to fit him into a boundary or a limit in our lives, and we don't realize that he's limitless. And especially during times like this, as Patty spoke, there's times where we'll look around us and we'll see things, and we begin to forget about the truth and the promises of God and how big he really is. And but he's limitless. He's a limitless God, and he's able to keep us. He's able to
right.
do all things for us. I mean, he is with us. And as she said, he's with us today. He promises to never leave us or forsake us. And he loves us. And the Bible says, what can separate us from the love of Christ? And it goes through a whole list of things. And it says that we're more than conquerors through him that loves us.
Amen.
And I love the Lord tonight. He's big enough.
Amen.
He's big enough to take care of us. He's big enough to see us through this valley.
Bless you, Jesus.
He's big enough to get us to the other side. And he's big enough. And if you've got him in a box tonight, if you've put God in a box, I brought something with me here. To show you, the Lord led me to bring this, and we got a box with us here. And can anybody guess what's inside the box? No guesses.
Donuts.
Okay. We're running. We appreciate that. What?
A cake.
I'm going to say something, and before you say anything about it, just wait until it's an illustration. But inside this box, what if I said that you could picture God inside this box?
Sure.
Let me show you why I say that here.
Sure.
I had my Bible in there. I had the Word of God in there.
Bless you, Jay.
And the Bible says in the book of John chapter 1, it talks about Jesus, and it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so what I was saying was that I had God in this box. And as I said before, oftentimes we'll put God into a box and we'll limit God in our lives when he's limitless. And so today we're going to try to get God out of the box that we've got him in.
That's good, Jay.
We're going to try to believe his word.
Hey, Mike.
Can we just push off a place tonight and just believe God?
Hey, Mike.
Can we believe that whatever's happening in this world, even no matter what the world throws at us, what the devil throws at us, that God is big enough to help us?
Sure.
And he is a great God. And
that's him.
And there's so many lies of the devil, and you can feel it even now. You can feel that he's trying to bring fear into people's lives. But the truth of the matter is that God's in control, and he's on the throne, and he's big enough. He's a limitless God. And the Bible says that nothing is impossible with the Lord.
Right.
The Bible says that in the book of Acts, it talks about the book of Acts chapter 17. It talks about Brother Paul, and Brother Paul was, as you know, he was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached to the people, but he didn't start out that way. Paul started out, and he was pushing against God. He was going the opposite direction of God, but he was pushing against God, and God changed his heart and changed his life on the road to Damascus, I believe it was, and he took Paul, who was going the opposite direction of God, and then fighting against him, and he made him somebody that would work for him and that would preach the gospel. And Paul, in the book of Acts chapter 17, Paul was going to a place, and it was a place called Athens. And in that place called Athens, they had many different gods. They worshipped all kinds of different gods. And if you would, our God that we worship is limitless, as I said. And I might repeat that a million times, but we really need to hear that.
Amen.
Our God is limitless. He has all power in heaven and earth. He has limitless control. And then the Bible says here in the book of Acts, it says this. It says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven.
Amen.
Dwelleth not in temple made by hands. So what Paul was trying to say was that he was saying that this God that I serve is bigger than any of your gods that you serve.
Right.
The God that I serve was the one that created the earth. He created the heavens. He created everything. He created you. He created me. Paul goes on to say that he sets the bounds of our habitation. That means that the place that I was going to live at, he knew. As my wife said earlier, he knew that her mom was going to have her.
Right.
Family. He knew that she was going to come at that certain time. The Bible says in the book of Romans that he foreknew us, and he foreknew us our lives, and he predestined us to a certain... That's the God that I serve, is He knows everything about me. In the book of Psalms,
you're right,
the Lord said that in the book of Psalms, chapter 139, the psalmist said this.
Yeah.
If I can find it here. Praise God. In the book of Psalm 139, the psalmist said this about how God's understanding is, and we've got to see this. It says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Listen, the God we serve knew us before we were even born. He had a plan
right.
for our lives even before we were born. It says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising.
Uh-huh.
The God I serve knew when I woke up this morning. He not only knew when I woke up, He knew when you woke up this morning.
Right.
He knows everything about your life. He knows the moment we were born, and He'll know the moment that I take my last breath.
Right.
It says, Thou knowest, understandest my thoughts afar off. He knows our thoughts, even afar off. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows what's in my heart. He comprehends my heart. You can take all the other gods in the world, the Confucius's and the different gods, the laws and all these different gods and the Buddhas, and they can't read my thoughts.
Right.
They don't know what's in my heart.
Right.
They didn't create me. They didn't set the stars in the heaven. But my God did that.
Amen.
It says this, it says, For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it. Altogether, God knows exactly what I'm about to say, even before I say it. And as I came here tonight, I just said, Lord, You're a big God. And then I was thinking about Brother Adam and how he said, if You bring the water, God will make the wine. And I've studied and I've prepared, and I just said, Lord, You're big enough. Even though I see
You're right,
that I have limitations, even though I see I have disabilities maybe in my life, and I have a hard time doing certain things, but that You are big enough, Lord. You're big enough to do anything in my life.
Yeah.
We go on and we see it says, such knowledge is too wonderful to me. It is too high. I cannot attain unto it. It says, whither shall I go from Thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence?
Right.
So God is everywhere.
Amen.
He's in all places. The Bible goes on to say, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell
right.
in the parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. And then he goes on to say later in this, he says, How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum unto them. It says, If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. The God that I serve knows all about me. He knows everything
right,
about me. He knew that I would have oak and coral and canyon and willow, and that I would meet the love of my life in Sissonville High School, and that I would meet her there. And the Bible said this, it says, when we're talking about God here, the God that we serve, it says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. If we were to take the knowledge of every person in this room and all the occupations, amen, and the things that we do, and then Brother Adam and what he does, and just everybody combined together, and the scientists and doctors and the carpenters and just whoever, and we were to take this knowledge and we were to combine it together as one, it would still be a drop in the bucket compared to what God's knowledge is. It says that His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, God's thoughts are higher than ours.
Right.
The Bible says in a place talking about heaven, this place that we try to imagine, this place that we try to picture, He says that eye hath not seen and ear hath not heard, neither entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for them that love Him. God is preparing a place that even in the most imaginations of our heart, we can't imagine what that place is going to be like. So even in my heart, and I can have an imagination of what it'll be like, it doesn't even come close, or I can't even come to the place to imagine what heaven is going to be like. So that tells me that God's understanding goes so far above my understanding.
Right.
I can trust Him with my life. I can trust Him with my future.
Right.
I can trust Him with every part of everything that I'm going to do.
Amen.
Part of trusting in God. Bring this out of here.
Bless you, Jay.
Yeah. I think it's in here. I wrote this down. It says, being strong in faith is trusting in God and His ability completely above our ability or our perspective. When we trust in the Lord, we're not trusting in what we can do or what we can see, but we're trusting in His abilities and His limitlessness. The Bible says that nothing is impossible with God. That means that everything is possible with God. The Bible goes on to say this. It says, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." So God is limitless in understanding. He's also limitless in creation. The Bible said, as I read there in Acts, that he created the earth and he created the stars and he created us too. So he is limitless in creation. He is unlike any other God that people worship because they are not God. God created everything that we see.
Amen.
We can trust in his power, we can trust in his knowledge, and we can trust in him. The Bible says he's limitless in power. He has all power in heaven and in earth. He set the stars in the sky. The Bible goes on to say that he has all power in heaven and earth. And if you think about that, if you think about a God that has all power in heaven and earth, he is putting everything in motion. He is in control of everything. You think about our planet and how it spins and it turns around. And if it was just how amazing that is that our planet moves and does exactly what it does. If you were to look at the planet, you were to look at ourselves, and you were to look at creation and how perfect and intricate it is, there is no doubt that there is a God at play here. There is no doubt
right.
that there is someone that has such an understanding that's so far beyond our own. How big is your God tonight? That's my question to you. If you don't know God and if you haven't put your faith in him, how big is God to you? You see, back in where I was talking about Paul in the book of Acts, they had all these different gods, and these different gods had power over certain things. They maybe the Philistines at one point, they had a power over God that was for fishing. And the Athenians maybe had a power of God that was over love. And they had power over these different areas. But Paul said this. He said, "I saw a tomb to the unknown God." He said, "Him will I make known unto you." And he began to tell him the God that I serve doesn't have limitations. You can't put him into a box. I mean, you can't put limitations on him. He is limitless.
Right.
And Paul began to describe to them this God that he served and how he created all. He created everything. And he created us. And he sets the bounds of our lives. That's how big my God is.
Amen.
We can trust him in our lives, church. We can trust him with what's going on right now. We can trust
right.
him with the doubts that we have. We can trust him when we can't see things. I love what the Bible says. I'm going to turn, if you want to, turn to the book of Romans chapter 4. This is where our scripture verses are going to come from. We want to talk about hope. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, it says, "We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?"
That's right.
"But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it."
Amen.
We may not see the answer that we're looking for, but in Romans chapter 4, it talks about Abraham. And it talks about Abraham and that he had a promise from God. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And we're here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. And if you go back to verse 16, just a hair, look where it starts by saying, where it says Abraham. It says, "Abraham is who is the father of us all. We know that if we're saved, we are in the family of Abraham. We are adopted into God's family and we are the seed of Abraham." It says this, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were." So in this verse right here, we see a promise from God. God was promising Abraham. If you look in Genesis, God promised Abraham that he was going to have a son, and then that son he was going to have, that was going to have the nations, a great nation would come from that son. And if you were to tell someone that, they would have a hard time believing, that maybe that would happen. But it was a special circumstance for Abraham, because the promise came when the situation, the circumstances didn't look quite right. The promise came to Abraham when he was 99 years old. And if you could imagine that it was 99 years old. And if you read here, it says this. It says, after God promised it, it said, "Who against hope?" Abraham had no hope of having a son with his wife because he was 99 and she was not able to have children. It says in 18, it says, "Who against hope believed in hope." Abraham had such great faith. And as I said before, faith is believing in God's ability when the things around us may seem like they're different, and not trusting our own strength. Said, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. God said, this is my promise, and he had a choice. Am I going to trust God, and am I going to believe God, or am I going to look at the things that are in front of my eyes right now? It says this, it says, when he was about 100 years old, it says that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not. Think of this. He didn't consider the fact that all the circumstances around him looked one way. He was going to believe in God. He said he considered not his own body now dead. He was 99, and he was at that point where he was close to passing away. It says, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah, that's his wife's womb. She couldn't have children. They were together for a long time, and she wasn't able to have children. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God. This is where Abraham is persuaded in God, and that he is big enough. He's taking God out of the box of his circumstances. He's taking God out of the box of his perspective and what he can see. And we can do the exact same thing. He's taking God out of this box, and he's believing that God can do anything that he says he will do. It says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. We have to be careful of unbelief, church.
Amen.
Unbelief will creep in. The devil will try to get us to fall into unbelief. But with strong in faith, giving glory to God. You notice what it said before. He was not weak in faith, but now here it says he was strong in faith. And I love what it says here. It says, and this is something that we need to do. And this is a verse that I would love to memorize and that we can memorize. It says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised,
Amen.
He was able also to perform.
Amen.
Amen. I want to repeat that again. And being fully persuaded. He was persuaded that God could do it, even though his perspective was one way and his circumstances were one way. He was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And then 22 goes on and says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness.
Yeah.
We go on and we see that God promised him that, and that God kept his promise because he was able to do all things. The Bible is very clear in this, and I want to read some scriptures, and it says this. In Luke 1:37 it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. In Luke 18:27 and he said, these things which are impossible with men are possible with God.
Yeah.
So if we see that Abraham believed God and his promises and that he could do it, he was putting hope in God and his strength and not in his own strength. Caleb was another person that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Abraham, Caleb, and us, Lord willing. Caleb was a descendant of Abraham. Remember, Abraham was 99 years old, and he believed God, and then soon he had a son, and his name was called Isaac. And then Isaac had a son, and his name was called Jacob. And then Jacob had 12 sons, and God's promise began to branch out, and those 12 sons began to have a great nation, and so God's promise was being fulfilled. And another promise that God had given Abraham in the book of Genesis was that not only would he be the father of many nations, but that he would inherit the land of Canaan. He would inherit this promised land. Now, we see that word promise, and God has showed me that the promise, the perspective, and being persuaded. So God promised him that he would be able to have, his people would be able to have this promised land here on earth. And so we see in the book of Numbers, actually in the book of Exodus, we see that promise is to the children of Israel. And so he had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. As I said, Jacob had the 12 children of Israel, and then they began to branch out. And they began to have their own children. And they moved into the place of Egypt. And in Egypt, for a while things were good. And then the devil began to speak to Pharaoh. And he began to put the people in bondage in Egypt. And in Egypt, the people were in bondage, and they began to cry out to God. And God heard their cry. And he raised up Moses. If you've heard of Moses. And Moses, he sent to deliver the people out of the hands of Pharaoh and out of the place of Egypt. And when he went down and he helped them to release from the land of Egypt. And he led them into the wilderness. And once they got into the wilderness, God's presence was with them. And Pharaoh began to follow them, this great host of people, this great nation that he had promised Abraham. And the Pharaoh came up against the people, and God was able to destroy Pharaoh's army at that place. He parted the Red Sea, and he led them across. He was powerful enough to do that. And as the Pharaoh's army came through, he closed the Red Sea onto those people. And he began to lead them into the wilderness. He began to provide for them. And so he reignited to them the promise that he had. And it says this in the book of Exodus in chapter 23 and 20. It says that, "Behold, I send an angel before thee." He's promising them this land. He said, "to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place I have prepared." Remember, this is a promise that he's giving them. "Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." God is promising that he is going to go before them into this promised land. And he's going to push the people that are there away. He's going to take the wicked people and he's going to move them away and put them into this promised land. He said, "I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee." Think of this. This is the promise. "And I will send hordes before thee." Imagine that. God can do anything which will drive the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. He's promising them this. "I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee." So he has promised them this. In Numbers chapter 13, and I'll try to hurry here. In Numbers chapter 13, we get to a place where they're at the edge of the promised land. They're getting ready to be able to go into the promised land. Remember, they had this promise that God was going to go before them. He would fight for them. He would even send an angel before them. And even hornets, which is very interesting to me. He promised them that he would do this. But the children of Israel often would doubt. Remember what I said, to be careful of unbelief. The children of Israel are going to go into unbelief. It says this, and we've got to be careful, church, that in these days that we live in, that we don't fall into unbelief in God and what he's able to do for us.
Yep.
It says this. It says that God told Moses, he said, "Take out 12 men from each tribe." And these men are the great-great-grandchildren, probably, of Abraham. He said, "Choose 12 of these people out." And he said, "Take the 12 of each tribe, one of each tribe, send them into the nation, or send them into this promised land while you wait there, and have them search the land out, have them look at the land and see what the land is like, see what the people are like." God had already told them that they would that he would be able to deliver them. And later he says, "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day." This is speaking to Joseph or Joshua later on, to give you an idea of what it was like. "Thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go into possess nations greater and mightier than thyself." They were greater. "Cities great and fenced up to heaven. A people great and tall, the children of the Anakims." The Anakims were giants, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, "Who can stand before the children of Anak?" Many times that's what we'll see. We'll see the circumstances around us and we'll be afraid of what we see, and we'll see giants in front of us, and we forget what God is able to do, and he's able and capable of doing anything.
Yeah.
It said, "Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face, so shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee." So in the book of Numbers chapter 13, the spies go into the land. God has already said that he's going to go before them. God has already said they're going to be bigger than you. God has already kind of prepared them for what is to come. And God has done the same thing for us. God has prepared us for what's coming these last days.
Amen.
He said that there's going to be tribulation. He said that there's going to be trials. He said that there's going to be persecution.
Yeah.
He said that there's going to be famines and pestilences in Matthew 24. He's giving us a heads up on what's going to happen. But what does the Lord say? He says, "Lo, I go with you even unto the end of the world." They had the promise, and we have promises from God also. We have the promise that God is never going to leave us or forsake
Amen.
Us. We have a promise that He's going to go with us now even until the end of the world.
Yeah.
We have all these promises. God is promising that we're going to see some tribulation. He said, don't be troubled in the book of Matthew 24. He said this. He said, don't be troubled. He says that. He said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Be not troubled. Listen,
Amen.
We've got to have faith. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. There's a time to laugh, and there's a time to cry. There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. There's a time for everything under heaven. And right now, maybe we're in that time of tribulation that's beginning to start, the beginnings of that. Maybe we're in that place right now. Maybe we're in a place where we need to have faith and trust God like we never have before. And not look at the circumstances and the things that are before us. The Lord said this. He said that when we see, He said, think about the olive tree and the parable of the olive tree. He said, when you see the branch or when you see the leaves that are green and tender, He said, you know that summer is nigh. He said, when you see these things in Matthew chapter 24, the prophecies, the things about these starting to come to pass, He said, know that it's near, even at the doors. He goes on to say that even as in the days of Noah, think of that, as in the days of Noah, Noah was warning all the people. He was telling them that there's going to be a flood. That God is going to judge this earth. He said, you need to turn from your sin. You need to repent. The Bible says He was a preacher of righteousness. But you know who listened to Noah? People weren't listening to Noah. But He was coming. And Jesus said that He's coming again. And in the hour that we think not, that the Lord is going to come. And He said, be ready. Be watching and waiting for Him.
Right.
Do we believe in His promises? That He is going to come and protect us. And He's prepared a place for us.
Amen.
The Bible says in the book of Malachi, it says that we are as calves of the stall, that we are like jewels that the Lord has, and that they're precious to Him. We're precious to the Lord, and He is going to take care of us even
right.
in the last days that we're facing.
Right.
And He loves us. And the Bible says that the calves of the stall, He's going to gather us in before the time. So in the book of Numbers with Caleb, in the book of Numbers with the 12 spies that go out and spy out the land, 40 days later they come back and they begin to tell the people the perspective. Remember, the promise was that it was theirs and God was going to give it to them. But the perspective was, when they came back, was this. It says it was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a wonderful land. It had grapes that were huge. They had to carry them on their... they had a pole that was wood on their shoulder, and the grapes were sitting on it. It was such a provision. God had prepared this for them. But it says this. It says, surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. In verse 28, it says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. That's that giant. They saw that giant. They're seeing with their natural eyes
right. Instead
of their spiritual eyes. And we think about David and Goliath, who was a giant, who was... I believe he was a descendant of these Anak people. And when he saw David, when David saw Goliath through his eyes, he saw them through the eyes of faith, and he saw through God's strength. When all the other men and all the other soldiers that were there saw Goliath as a giant that they could defeat with their own strength. We have to see that there's things in our lives that we can't just defeat in our own strength. We have to trust God with them.
Amen.
I believe we have to trust God on an everyday basis. We have to walk through. Pastor Rob, when I first started coming to church here, he told me that I can't even put my leg in my pants without the Lord. And I thought that's a kind of an odd thing, but we've got to get to the place where that is what it is. We trust God for every area of our lives, no matter what it is. I love what Paul said. He said, I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
He strengthens me. It's not through Jeff. It's not through Pastor Rob.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
God.
When we look at this, when we look at our perspective and it looks dim and it looks like we can't make it or it's against God's promise, we have to believe in God's promise. We have to believe that He is big enough. As Abraham said, we have to believe, be fully persuaded that what He promised, He's also able to perform. I'm fully persuaded what God has promised, He's able to perform. I'm fully persuaded that no matter what I face in this life, He's going to walk beside it with me. And I love what the Bible says in Psalm 23. How the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He's going to give me just what I need on this earth. The Bible says He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. God promises us, think about it, these are the promises for Abraham and for God's people, but He promises us a provision. I love Pastor Rob, and I love Pastor John, and I love Brother Ricky, and how we've met out in the parking lot for, I don't even know how many weeks. Pastor Rob, do you have any idea how many weeks it's been?
I have 42.
42 weeks. We've been meeting for 42 weeks out in the parking lot, and God has been faithful every service to feed us, manna from heaven. Amen. It's been a little different, but that's okay. As my wife said, God knew what was going to happen. He had already planned and He provided for us out there. That is a promise that God has given, that He's going to provide for us, that we have seen a fulfilling of. And I'm so thankful for Him for fulfilling that. But He doesn't only promise us a spiritual provision, but He promises us our daily needs. And He promises us those things too. But if we go on and we look and we see that the children of Israel began to see the perspective, and these spies came back, and 10 of them had this bad report. The Bible actually calls it an evil report. It said this. It says, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And listen, there were two men that went down there. Amen. And I believe this. I truly believe this, church. The closer we are to God's Word, the closer we are to the Bible, the more we're going to see through eyes of faith.
Amen.
The more that we're going to believe the truth and not look at our perspective and what's going on around us, but we're going to see God's promises. The closer we are to God's Word. And I believe that these two men, Caleb and Joshua, Caleb it speaks of particularly, I believe he was close to God's Word. I believe maybe he really took to heart that what God had told them, that you're going to be able to go and possess this place, that even though they're bigger than you, I'm going to go before you.
Amen.
Faith and hope is believing in something that we don't see. And Caleb had faith in something that he couldn't see, that God was going to do this for him. It says, and Caleb stilled the people. He had them all be quiet, these thousands of people. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. That's what Caleb said. He had the same, he saw the same thing, but he saw through the eyes of faith, and he was fully persuaded, as Abraham was, that God could perform what He promised. The Bible goes on to say that the people began to cry. The people began, because they began to give the evil report again, and they began to cry, and they began to murmur against Moses, and they began to say it was better if we were to be back in Egypt. Listen, sometimes we can look at our circumstances here on earth and say, Lord, what is going on right here? Are You really with me? I'm serving You, but look at what's happening in my life. Look what's happening in my family's life. Look what's happening all around me. Lord, are You really with me? But at that time, we need to not have fear, but we need to have faith, and we need
right.
to believe in God. We need to believe in His promises. Believe that God is able to do anything, period. God is able to do anything in our lives.
Amen.
Especially the things that He promises. He is able to keep us. And the Bible says that He's able to keep what we promised to Him. The Bible says this, it says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's not going to leave us. He's going to be with us every step of the way.
Amen.
Amen.
And we go on and we see that the people began to murmur, and they began to cry, and they began to say, I wish that we were back in Egypt. They even said, why don't you raise us up someone that will lead us back there? Think of that, church. Can we get to the place where we're so down about the circumstances that are in the world today that we begin to doubt God, we begin to doubt His promises? Think of this box that I've got right here. Maybe the God that we once believed He was this big, maybe He started to become in some of our lives. He started to shrink down and He started to get smaller and smaller. We can't put God in a box, church. We've got to believe that He is able to perform what He's promised. We've got to believe that He's limitless and He has all power. Not only that, we have to believe that He's a good God and that the Bible says in Romans 8 that He's working all things together for our good. That even though they may not seem good, but that God is working it together for our good. So they begin to murmur against Moses and murmur against the people. And Moses and Aaron fall down in front of the people. Imagine that they're right at the edge of the promised land. All they have to do is go in and possess it. Are we at the edge of what God has promised us? John chapter 14, what does Jesus say? He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions.
Amen.
If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, listen, this is a promise from Jesus. I go away
right.
and prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's another promise that
Amen.
We have as believers. To receive you as myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God has a plan for us that we are going to be with Him one day.
Sure.
And we're passing through, we're sojourning through this earth, but we've got to go through trials, we've got to go through tribulations, but He promises to be with us as we go through these things. He promises to give us strength when we start to get weak. He promises to encourage us when we need encouraging. He promises if we stay close to Him, and we've got to come to church, we've got to hear the Word of God, we can't give up and we can't sit at home and we can't stay at home.
Right.
There's some that can't get out, but if we can get out, we need to get as close. Listen, the Bible says that not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but, and I'm paraphrasing, but to do it even more as we see the day approaching. Now is the time to get closer to God. The more we come to church, the more we read His Word, the more we get encouraged, the more we see
right.
that God's promises are true, and the more we look through eyes of faith and not through eyes of doubt. We need to have eyes of faith in this time that we're living in right now. We need to have those eyes of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's able, what He has promised us, He is able also to perform.
Right.
I have faith, but we've got to come to church, church.
Amen.
We've got to get into the Word of God, church. It's got to be
right.
loose and the Lord before us, the world behind us, and
Amen.
The Lord before us. We've got to get into the Word of God in a
You're
mighty,
right.
mighty way like we never have gotten in before. We've got to study the Word of God. We've got to hear the Word of God. Listen, Pastor Rob, he studies for, I believe, hours, and he cries probably over the text, and he prepares the text, and Pastor John does the same thing, cries over, I'm sure, and asks God, please help me to give a word to the people. And God is faithful. Amen. He has called preachers to preach and to bring the Word for the people that need to hear and for us that need to be encouraged ourselves. He has given this Word, and there's an unending supply in the Word
Amen.
Of God. There's an unending supply of hope. There's an unending supply of peace. It's unending here. But we've got to come to it and we've got to take it. Don't be discouraged by the world. Don't be discouraged by the events of the world. Don't be discouraged by what you hear and in the rumors of what you're hearing out in the world. There's rumors everywhere saying this and saying that, and no one knows what to believe anymore. He's giving this to us.
Yes, sir. Bless you, Jay. Pour it on Him, Lord.
It's a lamp and a light. It's full of God's promises for
You're right.
us. Right now, in the thick of things, we're in the thick of things. They were right at the edge. They were right at the edge of the promised land. They began to have unbelief and doubt in their hearts when God had promised, and they forgot. Listen, they forgot that God had delivered them and then delivered them out of Egypt. They forgot that He had landed, He had brought His presence onto Mount Sinai. If you know the story, when He came with the Ten Commandments, and there were thunderings and there were lightnings, and they saw His great presence and they saw His great glory there. They forgot that who can stand against God? No one can stand against God. Not man, not devil, not anything can stand against God.
Right.
But they began to doubt, and they were not able to go into the promised land. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, we want to read some promises that are for us. It says this. Paul says this, they talking about the promises that God has, that nothing can separate us from us. It says,
Amen.
In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded, there's that word persuaded, Paul was persuaded, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come, Amen. Nor things present nor things to come, not the future, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God,
Amen.
Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors in Christ. We have all these promises in the Word of God. As I read down here through Romans chapter 8, listen to some of the promises to the believer. It says that we are, and if the children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So we are promised that we are children of God and heirs with Christ. You know, it talks about suffering, that we may have to go through some things here. The Bible actually promises that we'll have tribulations and sufferings, and it's a trial of our faith is what it is. Not to think of it as something that's strange, but it's something that's going to come, and it's going to test our faith, and it's going to test the things that we're going through. We're being tested right now in our faith. Are we going to trust God? Are we going to trust in what He's promised us? It goes on to say this. It says, there's a promise of a new body. It says, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit within ourselves, waiting for the adoption of the redemption of our body.
Amen.
We have a promise that we are going to have a new body one day.
Amen.
We are promised God's presence. As I said, it says, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. He's going to be with us at all times. It goes on to say this. We have a promise of Him interceding for us. The Bible says that the Spirit, it says this, likewise, the Spirit also helps us our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He, that's Jesus, that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God has all kinds of promises for us in the Word of God. And He loves us. And He cares about us.
You're right, Jay.
He gave Abraham a promise. And He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And Abraham, the Bible says, again, it says this. It says that Abraham says, it says that as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in God in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. He didn't stagger when God promised him that. Through unbelief, but with strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. We can't put God in a box, church.
Right.
We've got to believe that He's able to do all things. He is the God of heaven. He's the God of earth. Amen. The Bible says He made the stars also.
Amen.
He is a God that loves us and cares about us. One thing else that God is limitless with, and that is salvation.
Right.
God is limitless in salvation. He can save anyone and at any time.
Amen.
Jesus told His disciples, when a man came to Him that wanted to know how he could obtain eternal life, He talked to the man and He said, you need to do this, do this, do this. But he knew his heart. And the man said, I've done all those things up to my youth. And he said, there's one thing I lack. Is he said, sell all your riches and give it to the poor. Pick up your cross and follow me. And the man had said that he went away sorrowful. Jesus then told his disciples, he said, it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of a needle. I'm sorry, he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. His disciples questioned him and said this. He said, things which are possible with men, are impossible with men, are possible with God.
Amen.
We have to believe that God, things that are impossible with man are possible with God. The Lord, when we pray, I believe He wants us to pray in a way that we pray for things that may be impossible to us. When we pray for people in that need healing, or when we pray for certain things, I believe God wants us to pray in a way that maybe is what's possible for Him, but maybe not possible for us. He doesn't want us to pray with limitations. We see that God said that what's impossible with man is possible with God. Later in the very next chapter of Luke, we see that Zacchaeus, who was a rich man too, and someone that probably people believe would never be able to be saved. We know that God can send the Holy Spirit to someone and stir their hearts. We saw it with Paul, as I talked about earlier. God can send the Holy Spirit, and we can pray that He can reach the person that we don't think that He could ever reach. The impossible He can do. He's limitless in salvation. And we see that that Zacchaeus his heart began to be stirred, I believe. Maybe someone was praying for him, but he, as a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector, and he would take money, and he would accuse people falsely, and he would get money from people in a false way, and he was rich. As Jesus said, it was harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. But Zacchaeus, I believe, God began to stir his heart, and he climbed up a tree because he couldn't see Jesus as he was walking by. And as Jesus walked by, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus, and he called him by his name. And he said, "Zacchaeus," and I'm paraphrasing, he said, "come down from there. Today I'm going to abide in your house." And I believe the house that he was talking about his house, but he was also talking about the house of his heart.
Amen.
He was going to enter into Zacchaeus' heart, and he was going to change him, and he was going to take the old man out. The Holy Spirit can deliver us from the old man that we have on the inside.
Amen.
He can take that old sinful person that we are, and He can destroy that, and He can kill that. The Bible says that if we're in Christ, all old things have passed away. That means they've died, and all things have become new. The people that we think that God can't reach, God can reach those people. He's limitless in salvation. And He reached Zacchaeus that day, and Zacchaeus came down, and he was converted, and he promised this. Listen to what it says he promised. I'll just paraphrase. But Zacchaeus promised what the other rich man couldn't promise. He said, "I will take my money and I'll give half of it to the poor, and to the people that I've taken from by false accusation, I will give unto them fourfold." Mm-hmm. God changed his heart. We may have a prayer for a family member that we don't think will ever be saved, will ever repent, and we think that it's impossible with God. But we need to remember what this verse says, that what's impossible with men is possible with God. He can reach any person and any trial. And I believe God wants us to pray that impossible prayer, that God can do that. I'm thankful to be here tonight, thankful for this message. I know it was a little here and there and everywhere, but we just want to repeat that God gives us a promise. And even though the perspective may look one way, we need to be persuaded and have faith in His promises. And I'll read this last scripture, and then we'll close and ask Joyful Noise to come back. And it says this, "And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform." Are we fully persuaded that God is able to perform anything? He's able to save us. He's able to keep us. He's able to help us. He's able to get us through the storm that we're in, even at this time in the difficult season that we're going through. So I'd like to thank the Lord for tonight.
Bless you, Jay.